Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Good morning, church family. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I'm thankful that you've joined us for Wake Up Weekend. This weekend, we've had a bunch of teenagers in homes, and I'll let Sherry tell you more about that later, but it's been a great weekend for them. And we're going to actually start. Well, let me just say this. If you're a guest with us here today, there's a place in the bulletin that says, Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship. If you'll take a moment and fill that out, tear that page off, and then put it in the little wood offering box by the double doors that you came in this morning, and that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. Today is as a pastor, this is one of my greatest privileges to baptize someone. And so we're going to start this service with baptism. And so Shane Browning, if you'll come up here, please, sir, and join me up here.
There you go.
I told you, everybody trips over the tarp. I don't think I've ever made it up here without tripping over that at one point or another. Shane, Let me just read this testimony from Shane to you. I'm here today to proclaim to all of you that I am a follower of Jesus Christ and that I'm committed to the gospel. Amen. I felt the pull to follow the Lord in baptism for quite some time, but as I've gained spiritual maturity, the more I've seen how much sin is in my life. I've withheld from baptism because I did not want to be washed clean and then return right back to sin. But thankfully, that's all of our stories. But at some point in your life, you put your faith in Jesus Christ and in his grace over our lives, right? So we come to him first, and we let Jesus wash us clean and help us get on the track that he wants us to be in, right? And so Shane says, so today I'm stepping out in faith and coming to God, and I am trusting him fully with my life. Amen? Shane, have you asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? Amen. Then it's my privilege, my brother in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Sherry, if you'll join us up here on the stage, she's going to tell you a little bit about Wake Up Weekend, and we're going to watch a video.
Make my two friends come with me so I don't have to be by myself. Here I am on stage, nervous again. Fun times. Okay, so I have a lot of people to thank. If I forget someone, I'm human. I'm sorry. So first and foremost, the youth volunteers we had at Cindy's aunt and Lainey's aunt's house, they hosted with Matthew Reynolds. Just stand up and awkwardly wave. There you go. And at the Stegall's pool house was Riley Guerrero. And at mine and David's house is Cademan Tidwell. And they all go to Texas A&M University. Yeah, that. So David had fun with that this weekend. They watched the game and everything. It was cool. We need to thank all of the ladies and Lowe's grocery store, and I think another business that I can't remember right now because of the nerves, I'm sorry, for donating food and time. I even had a house, Sarah Roberts had offered their house, and the numbers kept dwindling because of all the things going on this weekend. And so I wanted to thank her especially too, because she was willing and able. And I just said, sorry, don't need you anymore. Maybe next year. So, you know, those awkward times that I just love. But I do appreciate her being willing. I really worried, and, you know, I'm good at that. And God did come through, and sometimes it was just at the last minute and the last person I asked and things like that, but God did come through, and I know that that was because we have such an awesome church family, so I do appreciate y'all so much. And I want to say that we have a rock star pastor and his wife, because they were there present throughout the whole thing. And these kids see that, and that means something, and not every church has that, so we need to really let them know how much we appreciate them. Because it's just like me up on stage, even if it's like that's not my thing, sometimes they just need to see you there and know who you are and know that if they really got in a bind, who they could come to. So I think that was really great that we have that here. Who am I forgetting? Okay, so Janet Robinson, Kim Vinson, Donna Poole were in the kitchen and outside of the kitchen in their own kitchens getting things ready. We couldn't possibly ever be hungry this weekend. It was awesome. Like Cademan said, a lot of great things happened, but that breakfast, yes, started our day off right every day. And I know that they had some others helping them, and sorry, you know who you are, but I don't have all the names to rattle off. What else? We had our small group times, and then we had our worship times at night, and we had Kessie helping us. Kenny was back there, you know, working that iPad, and you know, it takes all the people. And then we had Zach Tharp giving us the message, and he's a friend of theirs, and he came in and just did a great job with that, and he's going to be speaking today, so you get to experience that as well. He's going to give a little recap. So we did all of that. We had all the free time they had with each other to fellowship and learn to play together and have good, clean fun with other Christian friends and get to know ones they didn't know. So that's always a good thing. It's awkward at first, and then by the end, they're buddies. You know, it's really cool to see that. We did a scavenger hunt on an app called Goose Chase. And there were some times where they had to go and swim upstream and do some things that made them uncomfortable. Cami might tell you about the time where there was a wedding going on and they had to say, can we take a weird picture for a minute? Yeah. So that could be a fun story, you know, she could share with you. There was a wiffle ball game at my house in the backyard. You'll see, I'm going to have a video for y'all to see some of the things that went on. And so now I'm getting all scatterbrained and weird because I actually look someone in the eyes, so I'm going to pass it off to the kids.
You want to go first? Okay. Well, there was a ton of fun things. Like the scavenger hunt, we were just being able to go out and be goofy. Like Grace got attacked by she-bears, and it was like some kind of wedding or baby shower, like a wedding party, and we were like, hey, we're going to like steal this baseball, and did Wilson, no! In front of, like, screaming in front of this wedding party, and they were like, yeah, it's all good. So that was really fun. But I think a part of it that I really, really enjoyed was being able to learn and grow with these girls. Like, Kenley is in seventh grade, and it's all the girls together. We learned so much from her specifically, just being able to see how much her little faith has grown and be able to build that relationship with her. And all these girls, we are so encouraging, and it was a wonderful moment to see, like, what talents that we have that we didn't see in ourselves that we can share and build up each other and focus on that and just, like, share that love. And it was really, really special and important. My favorite thing? Oh. just being able to fellowship and be able to talk about Christ and be excited about it with girls that we just love and go upstream together and, like, not be able to just let everything out about it and how we feel and what we're experiencing and not have to hold anything back because we're all together and we're all going upstream together. Ready?
Thank you so much. She speaks so well, doesn't she? She makes me look like a mess. Okay. Clay did his first year as well with Kenley, and I got to witness him because he was at my house. I've seen him on Wednesdays. He started out real quiet, just like any of us, and he started to answer questions, and he's really blowing me away with how deep he gets and how he's thinking a little bit, you know, higher level. So he's going to be something else when he's, you know, a husband and a dad. I'm so excited about that. And having taught with his mom before, it just, gets me all emotional. So he's going to tell you from the standpoint of a first timer.
So from most of our time was at the O'Neill's house in the backyard playing two touch or just football. And then we'd have our sessions and our quiet time. And I just love to see how we could answer those questions as a group. And it was just amazing how we could just do it all. And, I need to pull myself together. My favorite activity was probably the scavenger hunt. We went and waded in the creek the Bosque over there by the Hyco Park, and that was fun. And then we just did a bunch of just boy stuff, and so, and then we did a pool party, and we swam, and the pool was freezing, but yeah, it was really fun, so.
Thank you so much!
When I asked him this morning, I said, I need you to tell from a first-timer standpoint, and he said, okay, and I said, do you want me to go over a few things with you so you kind of have like 3 points in mind? And he said, I'll just wing it. Good job winging it, okay? Anyone else just dying to get up here and tell something? No? Just thumbs up, it was great? Okay, good. I figured. So I want to thank the parents because you shared your babies with us and you trusted us. And I know that took a lot because I've done this with my own. In the video, you'll see all the fun activities we did. Included are the photos from the app, the Goose Chase app. I didn't include all of them. I'm not going to make them look at poop. But you can ask them about that after the church service. Telling you, they had to go in nature and find things in nature, and some of it was natural. So, yeah, it got their attention. It made them think. It made them be creative, and it made them have fun and just let loose and let go of some of the things that when they're at school that they have heavy on their hearts and their minds, and they got to just be themselves and be silly. One last thing, the shirts show a fish, the yellow fish going upstream, because that was our theme. And it started with the shirts, because if you notice, if you can peek around, some are gray and some are blue. So we're not even fish doing the same thing with our shirts. And that took a minute because they went, wait, I wanted a blue. There's not any more blue left. And I said, gonna have to make ourselves a little uncomfortable, right? So, and now I think it looks great, don't you? Okay, so we're ready to show you the video, and I just, again, if I forgot someone, just know I'm crazy, but I do so appreciate everyone, and everyone came through for us, and when you helped me, you're helping these children, so thank you so much.
Jesus, I see.
great weekend. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for this service. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being part of Shane's baptism, and thank you for him sharing that with this entire congregation. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity for Wake Up Weekend, for all these teenagers to come and worship you, to learn about you, to grow in their relationships with each other, and grow in their faith in you. And we praise you, and we thank you for that today. And Lord, now we pray as we continue singing in a moment that this would truly be a worship time for each of us, that we would seriously think about the words that we're singing and lift those words back up to you as a praise offering to you. And Lord, we're not here looking for a blessing for us today. We're here today to bless you, to love you, to honor you, worship you, and praise you. I pray for Zach as he comes later that you would give him divine wisdom and discernment as he shares your word with us this morning. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And oh God, the battle belongs to you. You search me, how you know me. You perceive my every thought from afar. In all my wandering, still you love me. King of glory, you pursue my anxious heart. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truthfulness, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I'm not your faithful, Lord, you search me, how you know me. You perceive my every thought from afar. In all my wandering, still you love me. King of glory, you pursue my anxious heart. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truthfulness, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. When my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I'm not your faithful, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? And where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? And where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go. Even when I'm not your faithful, even when I doubt your truthfulness, even when I'm lost, you won't let me go. And when my heart is dry, your grace flows. No matter where I run, I'm not far from home. Yeah, I may be weak, but you're able. Even when I'm not your faithful, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I hide from your face? Where can I flee from your presence? And where would I go? Where would I go? If I rise to the heavens, you're with me. If I fall to the depths of the sea, even there it's your hand that will lead me. Wherever I go, wherever I go. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the the star. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Hallelujah. You called out my name, and I'll sing out your praise. I'm not going back, 'cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Father, we thank you. We thank you that these kids have come this weekend and spent time not doing all the thousands of other things they could have done, but they chose to seek you this weekend. God, and I pray that your word will not come back void to them. You promised that in your word. Your word does not come back void. So I pray that whatever seeds were planted in the hearts of these teenagers this weekend, that it will blossom. I pray that the young people in this church will have a closeness with you that those of us who are older could only dream of. I pray that things just continue to get better and better, and that our generations are closer and closer to you. Father, thank you for Shane's example coming up here and being baptized. I know there's not a lot of people that like being the center of attention on the stage, but I thank you for each of the examples that we have that have come here and said, I am surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. Not in a way to point to themselves, but to point everybody to you. So I pray that as we finish up this service, as Zach comes to speak to us, Father, that this would be about you. There's a lot of people that work together to make this weekend happen, but God, it's all about you. We do all of this for your glory. So give us ears to hear today, remove all distractions, and Father, just let us be a blessing to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I wanted to introduce Zach to everybody so you didn't know who this random guy was talking to your kids all weekend. So last year we had Landon speak at this. Zach was actually Landon's youth pastor. When we moved to Bangs, Kessie and I, we met Zach's family. They're similar to us. He has an amazing wife. He has two amazing daughters. They weren't able to make it this weekend. But Zach was there as the youth leader. They left, and he became a head pastor down at a church in Alice, Texas, if you know where that's at, down by the coast, kind of. And so, and now, right now, they're going through the process, him and his family, a year and a half, two-year process. It's been longer than that, two-year process of planting a church in Brownwood, Texas, back where they're kind of, where his wife is from in that area, and just kind of they felt a heart for that. And so Zach is somebody for me personally as a friend that, I mean, I am who I am because of Zach and our relationship that God allowed us to form when we met at Bangs. And he's one of the people that I go to personally one-on-one with stuff and an accountability person, so I appreciate that. And so it was awesome that he got to be here, and now y'all get to see how awesome he is because I love him and I'm glad he's here. So this is Zach Tharp.
Thanks. Good morning. I'm so grateful to get a chance to be here. Man, thank y'all for having me. Where's Chris at? Where's Chris? He's right here. I should know where to look. Chris, thank you so much for inviting me here. I just wanted to let you know over and over again as I talk to people from the church this weekend and just ask them the story of GBF and what it's meant to them. Over and over again, I heard about how this is the friendliest church people have been a part of, how it's the most welcoming church people have been a part of, and their deep love for you and the families who helped start this church. And sometimes as a pastor, you don't get to hear all those things. Sometimes it's other things that come your way, but I just wanted to let you know, man, people love you. They love this place. Thank y'all for what y'all are doing in HICO. And so our family, we are in the process of planting a church in Brownwood. And so, I mean, this was planted in, what, 2010 or so? Are y'all coming up on 15 years? Is that right? Okay. So, like, our family now, it's us, and God is beginning to put other families around us to help us start the church. And so we're calling that kind of our core team. So our hope is that maybe 15 years down the road, we're outgrowing a place, and God gives us a new building, kind of like what y'all are in the process of doing here. And so I just want to say thank you so much for having me. Very short background about me. I grew up in the Abilene area. And then later in life, went to college, went to a broadcasting school, was working in radio, and I was a sports director, news director, did color commentary, play-by-play for some colleges and some high schools across the state. My dream in doing all those things was I hoped one day to, I told the youth about this the other day, but I'd hoped that one day I'd get to be the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. But Brad Sham won't die or retire, so like I think he's gonna have that. I think he's gonna outlive me, and so I think God redirected my path. And so God called me to ministry about 15 years ago, and put me on a path as He began to open doors. I attended Howard Payne University in Brownwood, got a degree in youth ministry. I've served as an associate pastor, a youth pastor, a senior pastor, and a few years ago God put Brownwood on our hearts. He put Brownwood on our hearts to go there to start a new work, and that's not to go there because we have any like new ideas or we think other churches aren't doing it right. We're grateful for the churches in Brownwood. God's been active in Brownwood long before we got there, so we're just going to join the mission with other churches to help Jesus on His mission to seek and save the lost. That's what we're going there to do. Brown County is 40,000 people, and on a day like today, where you've made the decision to come be in church. Brown County has 40,000 people, and 33,000 people of those are not in a church of any kind this morning in Brown County. And so Brown County is a place that needs more churches. We need more people called to the mission, going into the harvest, as Jesus says. So that's a little bit about the mission that we're on. What did we talk about this weekend? So we talked about what it means to swim upstream. And I asked some of the youth, what do you think going downstream means? What does it mean to like go with the current? And that's our current culture, the worldliness we see that's so pervasive. Man, if you're not careful, that current will just sweep you away. And so what they've been learning in their small group times, their sessions, they've been learning about people in the Bible who, when tough times hit, they trusted God, and they made some hard decisions to swim upstream against the current culture that was going downstream. So what does that look like for us today? So what we have been doing in our our evening worship times. And in your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We have been looking at who are the kind of followers that Jesus is looking for? What are the characteristics he wants us to display? What are the behaviors he wants us to display? What should the shape of our hearts be? And so Matthew 5, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, we have the Beatitudes. And so Beatitude is kind of a funny word. Beatitude means, in the biblical language, super blessed, abundantly happy, overjoyed. Jesus is telling his followers and everyone he's preaching to, if you want to live a blessed life, if you want to be happy, this is what I'm looking for. This is the call. And so we began to look at these. We won't go through all of these today, but we began to look at who is it that Jesus is calling and how does he want to shape us? Because anyone who comes to Jesus, anyone who Jesus calls and invites him to follow him, you can come as you are, and praise God for that. Otherwise, not many of us would have made it. But when you come to him, he's got some requirements for you. He has some commands for you to obey. And so the Great Commission, the end of the Gospel of Matthew, it says, as you're going throughout the world, make disciples, just like we did this morning, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You want to know what discipleship means, what it means to be a disciple, to make other disciples? It's someone who teaches others how to obey everything Jesus has commanded. Now, I told the youth at the very beginning of this Friday night, that can feel like a heavy weight. That can feel like a burden to try to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. But Jesus doesn't put heavy burdens on us because it's not up to us to get our lives together. It's not up to us to change in certain ways so that we can be followers of Jesus. It's not up to us to work our way to God. No, the power of the Holy Spirit, God will change our hearts. If we go to him in prayer and we earnestly seek him, God, I'm not the kind of person that I need to be. Lord, you know my failures. You know my sinfulness. But God, would you change me? Would you change me into the kind of person that you want me to be? For my family, for my kids, for my church, from the town that I live in, but God, ultimately for you. Just like we saw this morning, when you're baptized, that is a sign to this congregation that you are all in with Jesus, that you have recognized your sinfulness, and that you're not, like, by the grace of God, you're not who you used to be, and that God's got a different path for you. And this displays that to the whole church. What a beautiful picture of the gospel that is. Let's dive in. Matthew chapter 5. The Sermon on the Mount. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I want to look at the first four things that Jesus says this morning about who are blessed. The first group he identifies here is those who are poor in spirit. The very first thing we need when we come to God is that we have an understanding of our spiritual poverty before God. What that means is we recognize our sinfulness. We know God's commands, we know the law, and we see how much we fall short. So Jesus, as he's going throughout his ministry and he's calling people, he's looking for people who understand that apart from him, they cannot be saved, that apart from him, there is no salvation, apart from him, there is no life, and he has come to give life and life abundant, life to the full. And so this first thing we see here is that we should recognize our spiritual brokenness. God so loved the world. He so loved you. And he so loved me that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world, and he died for us, that anyone who would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, and on the cross, Jesus takes our place in death, and he gets our sin, he gets our punishment, and in this scandalous transaction, we receive his righteousness. We talked last night about the difference between grace and mercy. So mercy is when you deserve a punishment and you don't get it. Someone is lenient with you, they let you walk free. And grace is a good thing that you get that you didn't earn. And so the example we talked about for mercy, it's like when I got pulled over one time for speeding. I grew up in this tiny town of 600 people, and I got off work in Abilene one night and drove home to Holly. I knew we had one cop, and I knew where he lived, and I knew most of the time he wasn't out patrolling the streets. And as a 16-year-old kid, I just always wondered, how fast could I drive through Holly without getting caught? I know, yeah. So I get off the highway, start going through town, and the speed limit through town is about 35. And I'm going through, I get up to 50, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. I think I hit 85 before I was all the way through town. Very stupid decision. I'm confessing this sin before you now. The Bible says if you confess your sins, not just to God, but to each other, you'll be healed, James 4. Okay, so that's what I'm doing to you, confessing sin. Well, I get almost all the way through town, and then I just see lights behind me. Woo, 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 woo. Oh, no. So I pull over. Cop comes up. He knows me because there's 600 people in town. He goes, Zach, do you know how fast you were going back there? Always a dangerous question. They know how fast you were going, so just be honest. I said, yeah, I think I was up to about 85 miles an hour. He asked me what I was doing, and I told him it's been my dream since I've been driving for 6 months to go as fast through town as I can. He had every right to give me a ticket. I was in the wrong. I had sinned. I deserved a ticket. I deserved punishment. Probably deserved to have my license taken away because I was a knucklehead 16-year-old kid going 85 through town. He said, Zach, I'm going to let you off with a warning. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been let off with a warning? Woo, man, doesn't that feel good? Yes. Yeah. He let me off with a warning. He was merciful. He was merciful to me. Jesus wants us to be merciful to other people. Nobody, man, this is something I had to learn. I said this too. I don't know about you, but I was the hard way kid, and I've kind of been the hard way adult. I have to learn the hard way. I wish I learned the easy way, but it's been the hard way, unfortunately. I've had to learn. Nobody in my life will ever sin against me more than I have sinned against God. And if God can forgive me and has forgiven me because of what Jesus has done, that means no matter what comes my way, that I can and should, and I'm commanded to forgive others when they sin against me. So we're to be merciful. He talks about being poor in spirit, recognizing our spiritual poverty, our need for God. Number two, he said, blessed are those who mourn. This mourning is a mourning over our sin. Like, we recognize not just our sinfulness, but the sinfulness of the world. My goodness, I don't think it's the best thing that we have access to all of the news in the world all the time. I don't know about you. That causes me great anxiety. I got off of Facebook a few months ago. For those kind of same reasons, I was seeing all these bad news. And on the one hand, I like some social media because it gives me things to pray for. But I just recognized in my own heart, God, I can't carry all of this. I can't carry all the bad news that my family's going through and my friends, and I'm seeing suffering in all parts of the world and all of these terrible things. And I just had to make a decision. God, you know all of these things. You are sovereign. You're working in these areas, but it is not good for my heart to have access to all of this. The flip side of that also is it could bring up some jealousy or some envy in me. I start seeing some trips people get to go on or things people get to do. How many Texas Ranger fans do we have in here? Yeah, we're a little heartbroken this year. Yeah, like last year was amazing. That was so much fun. But man, Facebook was bad for me last fall because like I felt like all of my friends somehow got tickets to go see one of the World Series games. So like, this isn't good for me. It was not good for me to see that. So this anxiety. So we see, he says, blessed are those who mourn. We see all the sinfulness, the brokenness in our world. You've seen that in your family. You've seen it in your schools. You've seen it in working relationships where you work. You've seen it among your friends. And he says, blessed are those who mourn for this brokenness and this sinfulness. We should have eyes that see in our town, man, God, we see some brokenness. There's some brokenness here in Hyco. God, God, there's some brokenness in my family. There's some brokenness in my own home, among my friends. I see it in my school. And Jesus is looking for people who will have their eyes kind of on the horizon and see this brokenness around them and not stay hopeless, but bring those to him. Man, we bring every prayer and petition, we bring it before God. And we say, God, you see this brokenness. Would you do something about this? Would you draw people to yourself? Would you change hearts? God, would you redeem these things? That's what Jesus does. Jesus can redeem anything, any person, anyone, any family, any broken relationships. He is in the business of taking old things and making them new. He is a redeemer. We see in Luke 19:41, talking about those who mourn, like, how does all this tie into Jesus? What's the gospel connection? Well, he's looking out over Jerusalem and he weeps. These are the people he came to save and they've rejected him. He says, just the same way they sent the prophets, God sent the prophets to warn them and to help them and to minister to them, and they stoned them. They killed them and they ran them off. And he says, man, how I wanted to take you in like a mother hen and put you under my wing and care for you, but you would just have nothing to do with me. He weeps over the brokenness there. Number three, he talks about blessed are the meek. Meek is an interesting word because sometimes we equate meekness with weakness. But that's they're really not synonyms at all. They are not the same. Jesus is meek, and the biblical definition there of meek is this idea of power, but under control. Power under control. And so the best illustration I think we have of this in Scripture is Holy Week, when Jesus goes into the temple and he cleanses the temple. And you might say, well, he was running around with a whip of cords getting them out of there. How was that power under control? Think about this. Before Jesus cleanses out the temple and chases them out of there, it says that he fashioned a whip. I don't know how many of you have ever sat down and made a whip, but that takes some time. And so imagine Jesus walking in here, and he's walking into the temple, and he sees that they've turned it into a marketplace. People are buying and selling. There's business transactions going on. And he says he has zeal for his Father's house. This is meant to be a house of prayer. But he doesn't just go crazy and get angry and start sinning in his anger, because he was perfect. He did not sin. He takes his time. He sees what's going on. He surveys what's going on around him. He sits down. He fashions this whip, and then he starts chasing people out of there. Over and over and over again, Jesus is confronted. He's insulted. He's reviled. He is persecuted. He's persecuted for righteousness' sake. And when he is reviled, he does not revile in turn. When people say terrible things to him and about him, he didn't feel defensive and have to answer every dumb thing that people were saying about him, every wrong thing, accusatory thing, slanderous thing. He didn't feel the need to respond that way. Jesus has power, and he has it under control. He didn't abuse the power that he had. You might be saying, how does this apply to me? Well, Scripture says, Paul says in Romans, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. It really lives in you, and it really lives in me. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us, and we are to follow Jesus' example of having that power, but under control, that meekness. It means when people start saying bad things about you, when they start saying bad things about me, when you're fired from a job unfairly and it was for no reason and somebody just wanted you out of that spot, that means when somebody in your family is doing something to you or saying something about you, or a friend at school, it means you don't have to repay evil for evil. You don't have to repay evil for evil, but you can bless those who persecute you, and you can pray for those who persecute you. That's power under control. That's meekness. Number four, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Man, I told these guys and girls the other day that I am so grateful for this generation of kids. I don't know what we're calling this generation. Do we have a name for like teenagers like right now? I don't, like, we got like Gen X from the past and the millennials. I don't know what you guys are, but I am so grateful for you, because I feel like this is a generation that by and large hungers and thirsts for righteousness. These are people who see evil in the world. They see people mistreated, and this generation is not afraid to speak up and do something about it. I am grateful for the generation that's coming behind us, because they are people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, but that's got to be used in a gospel way. That has got to be used with meekness and power under control. You've got to follow Jesus and stay real close to him as you address the unrighteousness in this world, as you address the misjustices in this world. You don't want to miss Jesus in those things. We don't want to just be zealous for anything. We want to be zealous for Jesus, and we want to see Jesus redeem this culture that we live in that's headed downstream. We want to be the people swimming upstream, and it's easy to swim upstream if you've got other people going with you. So that's been the charge all weekend, is may y'all stay together and you follow Jesus. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And in each of these Beatitudes, even if you go through all of them, you see that Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of every single one. He was the one who was mourning over the sinfulness and the brokenness of the world. He was meek. He was the one who blessed others when he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. Even on the cross, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was persecuted, and he blessed others. As you go through the Sermon on the Mount, over and over again, Jesus says, you have heard it said, and then fill in the blank, like you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, Jesus is saying, what I say to you is love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. This is a totally new teaching for these people, or they had missed it. They had missed the teaching. And Jesus comes and says that he didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill it. And so before, where they had been told, love your neighbor, Jesus is saying, love your enemy, because our real enemy that exists, as Paul talks about in Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities in the unseen realm. We have a real enemy that's active, but we can't see him. So what that means is if you can see anybody in here, if you can see somebody, that's not your enemy. If you can see them, they are not your enemy. Jesus says, you love them. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And Jesus was the living embodiment of that. Again, as we wrap up, all of these things can be hard to think. God, how, man, I'm not a merciful person. Lord, I feel like I'm not pure in heart. I struggle with being a peacemaker. And all these things, if we were to look at them, we see where we fall short. That's good to notice that. We're recognizing our spiritual poverty. But again, Jesus isn't putting heavy loads on us and sending us out into the world to work on these things ourselves. No, if you'll come to him, if you'll come to Jesus, he will shape your heart and he will make you into the kind of follower that he wants you to be. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, come to me all who are weary. Come to me all who carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He is our rest, our purpose, our identity is best found when it is found in Jesus. He will shape our hearts, and he will enable us to be able to live upstream when the world is going downstream. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for your word. God, your word is true. Your word is living. Your word is active, Lord. God, where we have missed the mark, God, where we have had our pridefulness, our sinfulness, our ego, God, would you help us to recognize our spiritual poverty before you? God, would you shape us into the kind of people who will mourn over the sinfulness and brokenness of this world? God, would we be people who are meek, who exercise the power you have given us under control? Would we be loving to people, kind, respectful, hospitable? God, would you help us to be peacemakers in this world? And where our hearts have not been pure, God, would you cleanse us? Lord, my prayer for each person in this room, my prayer for myself, God, is that you would shape us into the type of followers that you want us to be for our good and for your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Zach. Teenagers, I want to share something with you really quick. I want to challenge you with something. You've been to a wake-up weekend. It's called that for a reason. It's a wake-up spiritually speaking. And my son and his wife are involved in a youth ministry in McKinney. And Jake said to me, Dad, there's hundreds of teenagers at this church that truly believe, they're truly buying into the belief that God is calling them to start the next revival among teenagers. So there's other teenagers out there like you that truly want God to use them, that truly want to live for the Lord. And I want to say something to you real quickly about what you just heard and about what you heard over the weekend, and it's this. The ability to choose your response to this weekend and to the truth that you just heard will determine your destiny in this life. The ability that God has given you to choose your response, even when people say scary things to you, and if you start living for Jesus, people are going to come alongside you, and they're going to say some really scary things to you. You know, I remember when we started this building program, a guy came alongside me one time and said, "Chris, you're taking on way too much personal risk." And I remember thinking, well, you know what? Praise God. What if David hadn't have taken on the personal risk that God called him to face Goliath? I remember a guy coming along beside me and saying something even a lot scarier than that. Several times that happened while we were going through this. But if you will follow God and do what you sense him leading you to do, you'll be right in the middle of his plan for your life. And he has an amazing purpose for your life. He has an amazing plan for your life. And I believe that God wants to use not just teenagers, but young people, period, to make a difference in this world that we're living in right now. And so this guy says in this book, I love this little book, God is in the business of strategically positioning you in the right place at the right time. And oftentimes it'll feel like the wrong place and the wrong time, but God is setting you up. And he says, and I agree with this wholeheartedly, I don't believe in coincidence, not if you're living a spirit-led life. I believe in providence. I believe in a sovereign God who's ordering your footsteps, preparing good works for you in advance, and making all the things in your life, even the good, the bad, and the ugly, come together for your good and his glory. Amen? And then I love this. He says this to young people. Don't worry about meeting the right person. Focus on becoming the right person. If you keep doing the right things day in and day out that you've learned this weekend, God will hold up his end of the bargain. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 35, every word of God will prove true. Every word of God will prove true in your life if you'll learn to walk by faith and put your faith in him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for Zach's message this morning. And thank you for this whole weekend. Thank you for the incredible way that David and Sherry O'Neill served this church and served these teenagers. And Lord, one of the things I love is I thought of a person that Sherry forgot to mention her name, but I know that she's not here for that. We're not here for ourselves and to bring glory to ourselves. We're here to bring glory to you, to live for you and to honor you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just empower these teenagers to move forth from this weekend and be a witness for you. Help them to understand that you have an amazing plan for their lives. And go home and be a witness for you in front of their parents, in front of their brothers and sisters. And may they go to school or go back to whatever team they're on, whatever thing they're involved in, and be witnesses for you. And like Zach and Sherry talked about, and like we've all prayed for, that they would stick together. And they would say, you know what? We believe that God wants to start something with us. We believe that God wants to start a spiritual revival in this town, and he wants to start with us. And Lord Jesus, we love these students, and we just pray that you would bless them in a special way as only you can. And thank you again for these leaders who came and gave their time to be with us this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen. Matt, you close us with our closing song, please, sir, if you would.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.